Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you now. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you.
The Midwest. Peace. Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest. Peace.
To remind process. America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process. This is episode 22, March 5th, 2012. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is Rob.
And we are going to dig into the Republican primaries a little bit in this episode and talk about our old friend Mitt Romney. And Rob, what do you have prepared to say about the Mitt?
Is this me?
If you're still Rob.
had some technical difficulties.
Sorry.
You know, I was cramming for the test at the last second.
Yeah, I have your email printed out if you want me to read it for you.
No, I've just been thinking about the Mitster. And like, yeah, just start it off. I have this kind of a theory about gaffes, campaign gaffes, and somehow that how all gaffes aren't created equal. You know, I think of like the Obama, didn't he have something where he said he's been to all 57 states, something like that. You know, he said that and he's really been to 47, you know, kind of funny, kind of silly, but I'm pretty sure he knows there's 50 states, you know, not a big deal to me. Or Joe Biden after the healthcare thing, you know, this is a big effing deal. You know, I really think he is that guy that would say that, you know, like,
right.
So that's not really a slip up. That's a little glimpse, you know, like the 57 states. Like, I don't think that's a glimpse into Obama's secret, not knowing how many states there are.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I love these little Romneyisms. You know, I just saw one quote. Maybe we probably put the quotes in the show notes. He was trying to be man of the people about NASCAR and said, well, he doesn't really watch many races, but he knows some people who own some NASCAR teams. Real man of the people, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I know a guy who knows a
NASCAR team owner.
Right. I know all sorts of people who own the M&M car or whatever it is. And what did he say something about? Like, he was in Detroit and how he loved cars and how he drives. He's got a couple of Cadillacs, you know. Just like
his wife drives a couple of Cadillacs.
That was his
quote.
Right. And he also mentioned that the trees in Michigan are the right height.
Yeah.
He said, boy, I love it here in Michigan. You know, the grass is green. The trees are the right height. So he's obviously biased against non-Michigan height trees.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, right.
It means nothing. It's just pandering.
A tree is as tall as it's supposed to be.
Right.
That like, whatever.
The trees in Michigan can reach their full potential. I think that was what he was saying. Right. You know, it's a state where you can reach your full potential.
Right. The trees are stunted everywhere else.
What a ding dong.
Well, yeah, I feel like maybe he got like down a little dead end there, and he was trying to list attributes and ended up with trees, but he doesn't know his tree types. He's like, and they're tall, you know. He just, you know, got stuck. But I guess what I think it says about the gaffes, like, it brings me to kind of a thought I had that we might be in for the best election ever. Meaning that I think if Romney wins, then we may have a Romney versus Obama election on the economy, because they're gonna want to attack it. The Democrats are going to attack Mitt personally for being a putz, but I think the usual right wing attacks on Obama are, what are they? We could list them all off. You know, he's an elitist. He's not a man of the people. He doesn't know how to deal with people. He doesn't know how to lead anything. He's soft on terror and soft on the war stuff, on the military. He doesn't support the military. I mean, those are all the classic attacks on a Democrat president, no matter what.
Religious oddball.
The religious oddball too, right? He's not like us. He's not quite one of us. So they have all that. Mitt Romney, you know. I mean, I think when Obama was was started his presidential run. He had a little bit less money than old Mitt did, you know. And I would say old Barry Obama does a much better job, you know, talking to real people than it seems like old Mitster can. So
why do you think he does a better job of it?
Why? Because I think he's probably
because you like Obama.
It goes the other way. I think I like him for this. I think he's a person who has dealt with a variety of different kinds of people. I think throughout his life he's dealt with all sorts of different people, and it makes him more comfortable dealing with you know, if he's in a cabinet meeting or hanging out with the military guys. I think that's a strength of his. You can say it's not a strength. That's not the point. What I'm trying to say is that the usual attacks aren't really going to they're going to ring more hollow than usual. You know, think of W versus Kerry, right? 2004. Man, all those attacks they ring true. You know, then Kerry had to go windsurfing. What a dumb move. Why'd he do that?
Right.
Kind of a side, yeah. As a side topic, once I got to mention Kerry, for all you Obama dislikers, I'll say, or people that don't see why there's such enthusiasm, or there was such enthusiasm for Obama, you just got to see the Kerry campaign. That'll tell you all you need to know. You know, it was just like one face palm after another. You know. And so
his new collection of hunting gear from Cabela's when he rolled out, still had the tags on it.
Right. I'm just like, come on, dude, you can't, you know. And so that's, and Obama doesn't windsurf, you know. He can't throw a baseball, but that's all right. So yeah, it gave me a little wave of optimism. Like say the primary's over, you know, I think Romney, all he can do is attack on the economy because he doesn't really have anything else, and you know, the left will attack the usual things, and then maybe we'll be talking about the economy. I'm down with that. I don't want to talk about social issues as they keep coming up over and over again. It's my little optimistic moment.
Well, I think you know, it's interesting, but you're right that there are parallels there between Obama and Romney, and you know, not just the whole healthcare thing, you know, because I've been hearing that drum getting beat quite a bit about,
right,
you know, Romney passed Obamacare before Obama did. So you've highlighted a couple of other parallels there, like, you know, he is an elitist. There's no question.
Right.
I'm not sure that I've ever. I'm not sure that Obama has ever struck me that way, you know.
Right.
I know that's one charge that's leveled against him quite often, but that doesn't really resonate with me personally. But I know that, you know, that's been an attack on him. But he, you know, he is a religious oddball,
right?
And so I think there's a parallel there too.
What politicians, or what I won't say politicians, but what presidential front runners haven't been elitists? I know they use that attack a lot, but
yeah,
these guys are in a position where they, by nature of the office, of what qualifies them for the office of president or to run for president, puts them out of touch.
Right.
Or, but it's a little bit more about the life story. Like, I think this, of course, transcends the party lines, but, you know, W wasn't quite the self-made man he would like to portray himself to be.
Right.
You know, or like, and it's also not about, you know, didn't McCain's father was an admiral or something, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I think if you're the son of an admiral, that probably helps you out a little bit. But I think he definitely had cred, though, of certainly being kind of a life, kind of a longtime politician. But I think he definitely didn't portray the idea of just somebody who's just, you know, that's all he's done. But yeah, you're right. I mean, and it's strangely not about wealth either, because it's like John Kennedy was, you know, obviously from wealth, and FDR was too. It's almost like if you're the rich guy, you just got to own that thing. You know, he should have.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad because his political consultants have told him that he needs to be man of the people, and he can't do it.
Right.
So it's worse. Like just be rich guy, be Guy Smiley rich guy. You know, we could deal with that.
Well, to restate Jeremy's question another way, when was the last time a non-millionaire won the White House?
Right. Well, and I guess you'd have to figure out, like, were they always millionaires, or, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Mitt's childhood is different than Barack's childhood. I think those two things are pretty different.
Yeah, Mitt wasn't born in Kenya. He didn't grow up in Kenya.
That's right. Sorry. I mean, you said it wasn't about wealth necessarily, Rob, but I mean, what else is there to being an elite member of society? You know, what does that term mean if it's not, you know, your social status?
I guess it's more of the life story, I suppose. You know, were you born an elite, or did you end up one? You know, I think if Obama didn't sell those books and, like, knock it out of the park at that 2004 DNC convention or whatever it was,
yeah,
you know, he wouldn't have the same chance. I mean, I just purely financially of running in 2008 that he did, you know, so it's like the power breeds money, which breeds power, which breeds money. It kind of is a cycle like that. Right. You got to give the man some props for coming out of nothing.
Yeah.
Out of nothing. He was a senator.
No, I mean, way before that. As a,
yeah. I mean, obviously he didn't.
I don't know.
Old money.
I'll say Barack Obama is much more of a self-made man than George W. Bush is.
Yes. I agree with that.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
I also agree with they should just own the elitist, wealthy, whatever persona they have, because they sound like clowns when they make the Michigan speech.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was talking to another guy at work about that and how Romney kept trying to recover from that. And then he made the Cadillacs comment and the NASCAR comment. And then there was even a third round of, well, let's, you know, I'll try and backpedal on that a little bit. And he said something else stupid. Right. And the guy at work was saying, well, so what? You know, who cares what he said? And I said, well, it's the pandering, and it's him. He keeps just ratcheting down his level of intelligence and his
right
by engaging this. Right. That's what's wrong with it. Instead of him saying, yeah, I, you know, this is what I have. And
he did best early on in the campaign when he tried to remain aloof, you know, like,
right,
let all the other Republican candidates beat each other up. I'm just going to remain above the fray and not say anything at all, or very little.
Oh, seal, a closed mouth gathers no feet.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Better to be thought a fool than...
Right. Yeah, you got to wear that. Yeah, and the other charge on Obama is that he's a phony, you know, and I
agree.
Some of that resonates more than the
what though? I mean, a phony president? He is president. I don't, I mean, I've heard those charges too. I'm asking the question, what are the people accusing him of being a phony of?
Jeremy, you could probably answer this better than I can, although I could probably answer it too.
I don't know what the general phony accusation has been. I know how I feel about him and why I think he's phony, and it's how I feel about most politicians. They try to speak about things and relate to the people, but they just don't. They sound foolish. They sound like they're picking out a few buzzwords and,
yeah,
you know, putting this clay, molding this clay together to build this sentence and try to, oh, did that sound like I'm your neighbor? Okay, right, I'll use that again. I'll say that again next speech.
Right, right.
And my dislike of Obama is not, it's preachiness over phoniness. He has always come across as very preachy to me.
Preachy how? Describe.
Preachy, like he knows best. Like, he's when he's giving a speech, he's teaching me something, you know, and the back. Oh,
it's the professorial thing.
Yeah.
But the professor you hate, not the cool guy in the tweed. It's like the lecturing. You feel like you're being lectured or educated.
I do.
Or
right. One thing, maybe this will bring it to the surface a little here, but when, oh, they were fighting over the budget, and, you know, are we gonna renew the tax breaks, and he said, he was giving a speech if it was a union hall or where it was, but he said, we need to let them know that they need to get to work and come to an agreement and fix this problem. And I thought, no, you are also part of that equation, and you need to get to work too. It was very preachy, like, those guys, those idiots over there aren't getting this job done. And if a CEO of a company were doing that, or a president of a company were doing that, the board would be saying, no, you're the president of the company. You need to help right this ship.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. For me, I think I see what you're saying. To me, it's just language of the political calculation of putting the blame on Congress.
Right. That's the
which is the tactic.
Truman playbook, the do nothing Congress.
Right. Right.
Oh, if only we could get a do nothing Congress, man. I would. That's what we need.
We had a no nothings party. Maybe we need a do nothings party.
I'll try to find that speech, because.
But I think I know what you're saying, and as far as me, like for the re-election campaign, I think we've seen him in action for 4 years, and I feel like he's, well, I won't heap on the praise or anything, but I think we know what he's about, but I think the phoniness is, you know, during the 2008 campaign was more like why is there so much enthusiasm over this dude who just showed up, you know, like trying to see what all the excitement's about. And I think that seemed phony, you know. I don't think that the way he's presented himself in office as a president seemed. I mean, I feel like he's up to the gig, you know. But there was definitely a feeling during the campaign, like, how's this guy going to even do it? You know, what has he done? He just shows up and knocks out a few speeches, and people love it, and Democrats going crazy. We're going to end up with this dude.
Yeah. Right.
Right. But as far as the last 4 years, I think he's shown himself up to the task. Whether he's right or wrong, a whole different question, you know, or whether he's even doing a good job is a different question. But I think he's mentally capable of doing the job.
So let me go back to your original supposition here that if these two go head to head and the usual attacks are off limits because they've lost some of their effectiveness, that this could be the most, what, issue-focused election in recent memory?
Yes.
Are they going to talk about the issues?
Yeah. Not, I don't think that's really going to happen. But
okay. All right. Well,
I don't either.
I mean, yeah, and I wouldn't say those attacks are off limits, but I think, you know, in the first one, when you had McCain Palin against Obama, boy, you know, you had a real stark contrast of those sorts of things. So, boy, you can really hammer that, you know, Jeremiah Wright stuff and whatever else. I think that's just not going to be quite as it's not going to work quite as well. It's all going to happen for sure. You know, we'll get the birthers and everything else going. But
what would be the issue?
I just don't think it's going to carry quite the weight.
I mean, the economy is an obvious one, but there'd have to be something else. They wouldn't be able to stick to just one issue.
Well, healthcare.
Well, see, I can't see either.
And I know. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I can't see either one of them wanting to talk about that.
Right.
So.
Right. It could be the only people who want to talk about it are the other primary candidates right now.
Yeah. I mean, Romney's certainly not going to bring it up because he doesn't have any, you know, he doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Unless it's, well, my health care was successful, and I don't think your health care is going to be.
But all he spins it as is that it may be a good solution for some states, but not for the federal government. That's whack. Well, yeah, that's some weak sauce right there.
At least he's recognizing states' rights.
There you go.
There's the spin. There's the...
Right, he'd be pulling it into a states' rights thing, which is... Well, I just thought of another Romney gaffe. He mentioned he's in Michigan saying how he's the native son, but then he said something. Well, back in my state, we call it, you know, meaning Massachusetts.
Yeah.
What a tool. Yeah, I'm just holding out some hope. And I like when the issues are government's right role of the government, and I like that we've, through this crisis, we've all gotten a little bit smarter about finances and the Fed and everything else. I like when we talk about that stuff. I've kind of had enough of the usual "are you Christian enough" kind of stuff.
Yeah, me too. I agree with you on that.
Just being hopeful.
Well,
I'm not hopeful.
I wouldn't know how to act if this became an issue-focused election, you know, where we actually talk about meaningful things and, you know, in the end, it's not going to matter for me personally because I'm not going to vote. But right. I would love to see that happen because I
right. And I'm not saying that that the issues would be discussed well or anything or like factually and accurately. I'm not saying that. But at least they'll be talking about that and not contraception or something. Because I think Romney doesn't want to get into that at all. He's just fending all that stuff off as much as he can.
Yeah.
I think the wars will be on the forefront again. And I think they'll assail Obama for not living up to his campaign promises of closing Guantanamo.
Yeah. Who will? The right will?
I don't mean that they'll say... well, you should have closed Guantanamo. I don't think, because obviously the right doesn't agree with that. But I think they'll turn that into, well, you promised this and you can't live up to your promises. And haha, we were right that we need Guantanamo.
Nah.
I would love to hear somebody on the right make a case for why we keep Guantanamo Bay open. You know, because the only, you know, there's no intellectual argument to be made there. It's purely fear. It's like, ooh, those are a bunch of bad people. If we let them out, you know.
Okay, well, Al Gore made a whole campaign out of
set
fear.
The planet. Well, I'm just saying though that they would have to appeal to emotion. There's no logical argument there for keeping it open and continuing to violate all those people's rights.
That's what the campaigns are. They should be about facts, but they're not. They're
agreed, but
okay.
I'm just saying that. You know, within the context of an issue focused election, if that were an issue, I would like to hear them debate it, you know, and not just parrot out these platitudes about.
Right. Well, yeah, I think that would be good.
I guess that's, I didn't think of it that way. I mean, I thought of it, okay, we're going to focus on the issues, but we're still going to use emotion and fear and whatever tool we can come up with to talk about these issues and show you why our guy is better than the other guy.
Oh, sure.
I didn't take it as we're going to talk about the issues and we're only going to use facts and, I mean, that is way theoretical and that's not going to happen.
Right. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that
yeah,
the arsenal of lies will be used about maybe some issues.
Right, and that's what I thought you were saying, but Jerry, I think, is going down a different road, and I don't think there's any grounds for that happening.
You're probably right, and you know, that's pretty sad.
Well, yeah, but...
But hey, it's small steps.
Small steps. You know, no steps.
Baby steps.
Well, maybe our listeners have opinions on this. We'd love to hear them. Give us your feedback at our website, MidwestPeaceProcess.com. You can leave comments there. You can email us, feedback@MidwestPeaceProcess.com. Or you can just leave comments on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/MidwestPeace. And we would love to hear from you. We also want to hear from anybody that has music that they'd like to have us feature on a upcoming episode. So if you're in a band or you know somebody who's in a band and they want to promote their music, let us know. Contact us. This concludes our episode. We will talk to you next time. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Bye.